Good evening, welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning Lilui Nishmasa, Zeich Nishmasa, Miriam from Miriam Baschai Mitak, Allah HaHashal, May her Neshama Ben Aliyah, and the merit of our Torah learning this evening and every week, Ba'azos Hashem, Amen Ve'Amen. So, as you can see, there's no Sfarim on the table. There's a reason there's no Sfarim on the table. Last time, and the time before, we spoke about the Gemara right at the end of Masech Sota. The Gemara teaches in Mem Tes Beis, actually. Yeah, Mem Tes Beis. So the last daf of Masechta Sota. So we spoke about Be'ikvos Mashicha, in the heel of Mashiach, in the time right before the coming Mashiach. One of the things the Gemara quotes there is that the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog, Pnei Adark, Pnei Akalev. So it's very interesting that after last week's Shiur, I came across an article that references this piece of Gemara. And since we spent time doing it 2 weeks ago, and then we spent time last week reviewing it again, I did not think it was an accident that Hashem led me to come across, Hashem brought me to come across an article that relates to the Gemara so very strongly. So therefore, we are going to continue or take a different tangent on a certain topic. So I want to bring up Parshas Lech Lecha, which is this week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, we meet Avram Avinu. A lot goes on in the Parsha, but Perek Yud Dalet is the war of the four kings and the five kings. What does that have to do with Avram Avinu? Who cares about the war of the four kings and the five kings? Well, Vayichu es Lot plus Rechusho ben Achi Avram Vayichu v'hu Yoshev b'Sodom. What happens to Lot in the war of the four kings and the five kings? He is captured. He is taken captive. Vayavo ha'pali, the fugitive come. Some say that's Og. Vayigid the Avram ha'ivri v'hu shochem b'lei. So it's told to Avram ha'ivri, who's dwelling in Alon and Mamre. What is it told? Vayishma Avram ki nishba achiv. His brother has been taken captive, meaning Lot is his nephew, and he arms his men, those who were born of his house, 380 men. Avram goes to war. So what does Lot being captured have to do with Avraham Avinu, Isaac, and Parshas Lech Lecha? Avram has to go to war. But if you know, listen how he is referred to. This is Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayavo ha-palit, the fugitive came, Rashi says, Lefi pshuto ze'og shepalat min ha-mechama. Okay, the point is, Vayegeir la'avram ha-ivri. So how is Avram referred to here? As a, how is Avram referred to? An Ivri. So this is the first time we see this term. I think the only time we see Avram referred to as an Ivri. Now, before we were called Yehudim, before Yehuda came along and was born to Leah, we were known as Yehudim. We were known as something else first, and that was Ivrim. How would you translate that into English?
Hebrews.
That's exactly right. We're known as Hebrews. Yosef repeatedly refers to himself as a Hebrew, and they refer to him as a Hebrew. The Sar HaMashkin refers to him as a Hebrew. Eshes Potiphar refers to him as an Ivri. He refers to himself as an Ivri. It began with Avram Avinu. What does it mean to be an Ivri? So Rashi says, does anyone remember what Rashi says? That he is an Ivri. Three words, very short Rashi. What does Rashi say? Why are you talking about Avram the Ivri? And then
everyone's on. I don't remember the words of Rashi, but everyone's on one side and he's on the other.
Beautiful, very, very nice. So it's not just that he's an Ivri, but it must mean something very significant because we are referred to as Ivri, and we are referred to as Hebrews. So all Rashi says is Shaba me'Eivar Hanahar. He came from the other side of the river. What does that mean? He came from the other side of the river. Who cares where Avram came from? Why is that significant in our journey? This is the parsha where we begin the journey with our first patriarch and first matriarch, the founders of the Ummah Yisraelis. Why do I care if he came from the other side of the river? So I'm going to begin by quoting Salvechik. Of Salvechik says, Ivri, he came from the other side of the river. So exactly what you remembered. Avram's origin was Ur Kostim. He was an immigrant to Canaan. Why are, however, the people described as Ivrim forever? Why was Yosef known as a Hebrew? Why were we known as Ivrim? Why is Hashem called the God of the Hebrews from a pasuk in Shemos, Perek Gimel? Why did the prophet Yonah, when they ask him who is he, what does Yonah say? That singer made into a very famous song. Who's the singer? Who?
Benny Friedman.
Thank you. Benny Friedman made it into a very famous song. Ivri Anochi V'Asokei Hashamayim Ani Yare. If you've seen the music video, it's really fantastic. If you haven't seen it, it's kedai to look it up, using your talents to bring people closer to the Shem. It's amazing. Why did Yonah define himself as a Hebrew? So apparently the term Ivri is more than a geographical designation. It doesn't just mean you're on this side of the river and I'm on this side of the river. Hebrew became the symbol of Judaism. According to the Medrash, which I had brought the Medrash, and I'm going to quote it momentarily, Avram is called Hebrew because he stands me'ever echad on one side, and the whole world, Avigail, this is exactly what you said. What did you say?
That the whole world is on one side, and he was, you know,
That's exactly right. Avram took the vision of the creator, of a new world order, a new morality. And through this morality and world order, he separated himself from the rest of the world ideologically. Everybody ideologically is on one side, he's on the other. His descendants continue to carry that title. So what is our tafkid? If we embody the traits of Avram Avinu, the Jews have crossed many rivers. We have lived, we continue to live in many lands. But in the spiritual sense, we remain rooted over the river, on the other side, with a heritage of sanctity and purity. And this is the tafkid of every Jew. It's to emulate the ways of Avram Avinu, to become an Ivri. So since that was the Rashi's quoting from Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, so I looked up Medrash Bereishis Rabbah for your reference. Okay, it's Mem Beis Ches. I looked it up. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. So it's a short medrash. This is the very, very good. It looks like the Gemara, but it's the art school set of Medrash Rabbah. I have a Baruch Shem on Chumash and on the Chumash Megillah, so it's excellent. So the medrash says, ready? What does it mean, Avram Ivri? So the Medrash says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, and the sages were discussing Ivri. Rabbi Yehuda Olmer, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Me'Ever Echad, V'Hu Me'Ever Echad. The whole world is on one side, and he is on the other side. So the footnote says, Aver means side. In this view, Avram is called Ivri because of idolatry. The whole world is on one side in terms of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and he is on the other side. So that's one opinion. Ivri, Kol Ha'olam Kula Me'Aver Echad, V'Hu Me'Aver Echad. Everybody's on one side, he's on the other side. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, because remember, the Medrash here begins by saying, V'Agei La'Avram Ha'Ivri, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, and the sages, they have different opinions. So Rabbi Yehuda says it means he's on one side, the whole world's on the other side. What does Rabbi Nechemia say? Rabbi Nechemia says, Hu Mibnei Banav Shal Aver, he is a descendant of Afer. So Aver preceded Avram by 7 generations. He was a prophet and a righteous man. The Torah mentions Aver because Avram emulated the righteousness of Aver. In fact, the famous yeshiva was called Yeshivas Shein Ve'Aver. And I don't know if you remember, but we said in Parsha classes that last year, 2 years ago, what is the significance of Yeshiva Shein Ve'Aver? Yeshiva Shein Ve'Aver is if you want to keep your shame, when you go Aver, make sure to keep your shame. When you cross over, when you leave your home, when you journey to those foreign lands, make sure you keep your shame. So he descended from Aver. Aver was a righteous man 7 generations before. Therefore, Avram is linked to Aver. Third interpretation of the rabbi, Shehu me'Aver Hanar. He is from the other side of the river. Vehu me'Siach b'Lashon Ivri. What is me'Siach? We spoke about. Sicha means 3 things. Conversation, prayer, and plants. We're not going to talk about now in depth the connection, but he spoke a different language. Hu Mesiach, he conversed, Belashon Ivri, he spoke in a different language. So you have 3 interpretations of the Medrash. What does Ivri mean? First interpretation is, he was on one side, the whole world's on the other side. The second interpretation is, he is a descendant of Aver, 7 generations before, who was very righteous. Third interpretation is, he spoke Mesiach Belashon Ivri. He spoke the Hebrew language. So I'm going to quote from the footnote. The Medrash is very, it looks inside sort of like the Gemara. It has the Medrash here, and then it has the text of the Medrash with English, and then it has footnotes, and on the bottom it also has insights. So I'm quoting the insights from the footnote of the Art School Medrash Rabbah. Every Jew is an Ivri. Avram is given the title Ivri from the word Aver. He came to Canaan from the other side of the Euphrates. But Chazal understand that there is something much more significant. There is his essence and his greatness. Avram was ready to stand apart from the rest of the world. And we have to ask ourselves, as bearers of the title of Hebrews, many generations later, are we prepared to stand apart from the rest of the world? And it relates to our share of last week, and it relates to our share of 2 weeks ago. He was the only one who refused to join the descent into idolatry. He and Sarah cultivated many disciples, and even though they cultivated many disciples, they were essentially alone. They would never blend into the surrounding culture. Avram was on one side of a moral and spiritual divide, and the whole world was on the other side. Righteous people must be ready to endure isolation. Because what does it mean that he was on one side in the whole world? That's what the Medrash says. Kol ha'olam kulo me'Aver Echad. V'hu me'Aver Echad. So what did Avram experience? The condition of existential loneliness. Even though he's surrounded by many people, metaphysically, he's in a state of chosen loneliness. Righteous people must be ready to endure isolation if necessary. Listen to this. Popularity is pleasant, Think of kids who want to fit in with the cool group. I'm sure we've all gone through the school experience many years ago, but we went through it. Maybe you had such a group when you were in school. Popularity is pleasant, but it can also be a trap. The natural human desire for popularity and acceptance can lead people to compromise their principles. I'll read it again. Righteous people must be ready to endure isolation if necessary. Popularity may be pleasant, but it can also be a trap. The natural human desire for acceptance and popularity can lead people to compromise their principles. We know it to be true. It's absolutely true. I don't know. There's a group going to what?
We call it peer pressure.
It's called peer pressure. Because Avram was strong enough to resist this impulse, he became the father of the nation that would remain loyal to God. That means in all of us, in our spiritual DNA, is the necessity to remain distinct. This strength became part of his legacy to his children. Rav Sham Sherfal Hirsch notes, when Moshe first appeared to Paro, this is from Shemos Per Gimel, with the request that Israel should leave Egypt to worship God, Moshe spoke as Hashem is Elokei HaIvrim. When he first comes and he says, I'm here, and the God of the Hebrews has sent me. Why? Because every Jew must have the capacity to be an Ivri. What does it mean to be an Ivri? To stand alone. God does not need multitudes. He needs those who are ready to remain loyal to his principles and precepts. And even if there's only one couple, an Avram and Sarah, who are ready to do so, then that is enough. So the reason I'm continuing with this topic is because last time and the time before, we quoted from the Gemara in Sota, Nem Tes Beis, right at the end, the last Amud in Sota. And if you remember, we spoke about Ikvos Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. Chutzpah will increase and the decline of society in general. And one of the things that the Gemara says it's Pnei Hadar ki Pnei HaKelev. The houses that used to be for Talmidei Chachamim will be houses for Zonos. Wine, the price will increase because there are so many people who want to drink wine, etc. So I came across an article that I want to share with you. And when I was reading it, this article very interestingly quotes a number of points from the Gemara. So after having taught at Motzei Yom Tov, and then reteaching it last week, and then coming home and reading this article, I thought, Hashem, this is not an accident, that now, after we've gone through this piece 2 weeks in a row, I come to this article. Furthermore, really it's not an accident, because this has been on my table since like the beginning of Elul, on my coffee table, and for some reason, after last week's class, I decided to pick it up, and I come across this article that begins with Yechezkel prophesizes that in the era of the footsteps of Mashiach, that's the opening line. So when I read footsteps of Mashiach, and here we did it, I thought Hashem is sending a message. So take and pass, please. There's enough, and there's certainly enough to share. This is from the OU, Jewish Action Magazine. Okay. And it's a different spin, a different way of looking at the Gemara that we quoted. So please take one and pass it down. The Gemara says, I'm going to remind you in English. In Ikvos Mashiach, in the period preceding Mashiach, in the footsteps of Mashiach, everyone listen to me for a minute, chutzpah will increase, costs will soar, there will be much wine, but the price will be very expensive. The government will turn to heresy. There will be no rebuke. If you remember, Rashi says, everyone will say, who are you to rebuke me? The house of sages will be a house for Zona. The Galil will be destroyed. Their wisdom of the scribes will decay. Yirei chei imasu. Those who hate sin will be abhorred. The truth will be absent. Youths will embarrass the face of elders. Elders will stand before youths. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. Children will not be embarrassed in front of their fathers. And we will say, Alma yesh lanu hisha'ein, ela alavinu shabashamayim. So let us look at this piece. It's a different way of approaching the Gemara that we already looked at. What did the rabbis have to say about anti-Semitism? And I wanted you all to see it. Note this essay was written by Rav Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It says on the bottom right, the Rav Chanan Wasserman was killed in, it doesn't say he was killed, but he was killed. He was killed by the Nazis In 1941, he was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadikim V'Kadoshim Levracha. He was killed in 1941. This essay was written by Rav Chanan Wasserman after Hitler's rise to power, but before the implementation of the final solution. This is from a Jewish action this season. Right. Yechezkel prophesies that in the era of the footsteps of Mashiach, so that's exactly what we spoke about last week, the Ikvos Mashiach, one of the reasons we propose that perhaps it's called the footsteps of Mashiach is because people will trample upon the most basic mitzvahs and derech eretz with their heel. A solution will be proposed amongst the Jews. What is the solution? Look inside, please. You have it in front of you on purpose, Avon Kofalo. We will be as the nations. We think that will help us. The actualization of the prophecy began with the Berlin Enlightenment, the Haskalah. It's so ironic that they call themselves the Maskilim and the Haskalah because it's from the word Seichel. What does Seichel mean? Intellect. I don't know exactly how you translate it. How did you translate it?
Intellect.
Okay, very good. Intellect, very good. Use your Seichel, use your mind, use your thoughts. So that's what they said, that's what they're going to do. They're going to be enlightened. It was translated really as the Enlightenment, but in Hebrew it's the Haskalah. They were the intellectuals. Almost 150 years ago, keep in mind, this was written after Hitler's rise to power. When he says 150 years ago, he doesn't mean today's 150 years. Let's start again. Yechezkel prophesies that in the era of Ikvos Mashiach, a solution will be proposed amongst the Jews. We will be as the nations. The actualization of the prophecy began with the Berlin Enlightenment, the Haskalah. You know, Germany was the hotbed of the Haskalah movement almost 150 years ago. Its proponents masked what they were doing with the words, be a Jew in your home and a person in public. The fruits of this approach quickly ripened. What happens if you're only a Jew in your home, but a person in public? Soon you will be a person everywhere. Their children apostatized, like from apostate, apostatized, which means left the religion, converted out. Their slogan amounted to an undermining of the foundations of the Torah. The Torah had warned Jews should be separate from the nations in their whole lifestyle. And I have set you apart from the other people. You shall be mine, from Sefer Vayikra. The Maskilim came and said the exact opposite. We should be exactly like the nations. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, in that you say we will be as the nation, shall not be at all. What will happen when we say that? The reply of God is, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out. It will begin with a mighty hand. In other words, Hashem will come with a mighty hand and bring us back to the tradition, to where we should be. When we throw off the badge of honor of an Ivri, the legacy of Avram, is that he was on one side and we're on the other side. The legacy of Avram is he came from Aver, who was a tzaddik. The legacy of Avram is that he was Mesiach, Belashon Ivri. His language was distinct and different. So the repercussion will begin with a mighty hand. If that does not help, we will move to repercussions of an outstretched arm. If that also does not help, there will be a fury poured out. Writes Rav Chanan Wasserman, we cannot know in which of the three processes we are now. The near future will show us. It's really terrifying. In any event, it is clear the prophecy of shall not be at all will be realized. What is he referring to? If you go back up from Yechezkel, a few lines up, Hashem says, you want to be like the nations? God says, you want to be like the nations? That shall not be at all. Says Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, it is clear the prophecy of shall not be at all will be realized. The nations are driving us away from them in a murderous way. Isn't it true that the more, and this is my own lashon, Rav Chanan Wasserman, isn't it true that history has shown us time and again that the more we try and be like them, the stronger they remind us we are anything but them. The more we try and be on their side, the more they push us to the other side. The nations are driving us away from them in a murderous way. It is said, bottom of column one, it is said it is difficult to be a Jew. A wonder has occurred in recent times. It is increasingly difficult to become a Gentile. The Gentiles are pushing us back. Rav Shamsher Falhirsch lived where? What? In Germany. He died in 1888. Sham Shemphal Hirsch points out that in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, when it discusses the back-breaking labor that the Jews were enslaved by the Egyptians, what is the word that is used to describe the back-breaking labor a few times? Very nice. Well, it's parach. There's one other time Lishorish is used in Chumash. In regard to a totally different situation, topic. Paroches. What's a paroches?
Covered?
So, how do you say it? Mnemonic? 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 I'm asking you a question. What?
Mnemonic?
So there's a few of them that I have that are very good. Vayikach ha-sefer, I mean, they work for me. Vayikach ha-sefer ha-bris, vayikra ba'oznei ha'am, vayomer kol asher dibar Hashem nasa v'nishma. It's 24-7. Because, how do I know that it's Shmos 24-7? I'm not so smart, because you have to keep Torah 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you always have to be ready to say nasa v'nishma, kol asher dibar Hashem nasa v'nishma, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's one. If you have trouble, if you used to have trouble like me, before my daughter told me, this one, mnemonic? Remembering who goes with Rachel and who goes with Leah, which one's Bilhah and which one's Zilpah. If you have no problem remembering, it's not for you. Think of the word my daughter learned this in tag years ago, Barzel. Beis Reish, Bilhah Rivka. If you remember on your own, great, it works for me. Zayin Lamid, Zilpah, Leah. So as soon as I think of the Imos and the Shvachos, I think of Barzel, and I know the answer. This past year, Matovo Lachayak Mishkan Asech Israel, Parsha Zabalak, we learned the Shulchan Aruch about not talking in Shul, and I don't know if you remember, but I said it online. When I went to prepare Shir, I was astonished to see that it's the Shulchan Aruch 124-7. I'm not so smart. I realized right away, if Hashem is Achad, if He's one, then 24-7 you can't talk in Shul. These are just some things that work for me. Ready? Why am I bringing this up? Because I said, what's partition? And you said the cover. This one works for me. And I always was always also confused. So I realized this. The paroches is the partition. The kapores is the cover. It works. I say it every year in partial classes. By Truman, Tetzavak, Tisav, Yagab, Tvude. Listen again. The paroches is the partition. P and P. The kapores is the cover. If you have no problem remembering that, great. If you want a good trick, it works for me. So Rav Sham Shemphal Hirsch points out, what's avodas parach? I know there's also the parach. He's taking a different approach. Parach, what's avodas parach? What's the only other time we see this in the Chumash? We just mentioned it, by the construction of the Mishkan. So what do you have to put up? A parochas, a partition to separate between the?
The holy and
the kodesh and the kodesh HaKadoshim. The holy and the super holy. I'm sure Paul Hirsch says, what's about this parach? If we don't distinguish and separate ourselves, if we don't put up a partition between ourselves and the Egyptians, if we don't put up a partition between ourselves and the Umos HaOlam, Hashem Yirach, and they will put up a partition for us. If we forget that you must separate between different spaces, that not everything can mesh together, that not everyone goes together, that the Kosh and the Kadoshim were separate spaces, the Aron and the Menorah had to be separated. The only other time you see Parach is by the Paroches, which was a partition. We must make that partition between us and the Umos HaOlam, or they will quickly put up the partition from us. So look at the very last line of column one. Rav Chanan Wasserman writes, it is said it is difficult to be a Jew. A wonder has occurred in recent times. It is increasingly difficult to become a Gentile. The Gentiles are driving us back. It is said in the name of the Gaon, who is the Gaon, the Beis Halevi, of Yosef Dov Halevi Salvechik. Rav Chanan Wasserman was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisker. Rav Chaim Brisker was a son of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi, a blessed memory. It is written, he who separates between light and darkness, hamavdil bein or l'choshech, Ubein Yisrael la'amim. When do we say that every week? By Havdalah. Havdalah. What is Havdalah?
Separation.
Mavdil. There is a specific distance between light and dark. One cannot change the distance. You cannot lengthen it. You cannot shorten it. It is the same between Israel and the Gentiles, right? Whenever the sun is rising this morning, the scientists calculate when it rises. And now they can calculate when it sets. And they could tell you next week, if you check the weather reports, it also tells you what time is sunrise and sunset. You can't separate the distance between this the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, between light and dark. It's a set, objective, godly difference. It is what it is. Amavdil bein or lechoshach. It's a set distance. So too between Israel and the Gentiles, there is a specific distance as to how far they should be from one another. There must be a specific distance. If the Jew approaches too closely, the Gentile pushes them back. Why? Because intrinsically, religiously, metaphysically, and physically, actually, scientifically, there's a set distance between us and the Umos Ora. If we try and breach that paroches, they're going to put it up for us. From this, one can understand why the more the Jews have approached the Gentiles, the more severely the Jews have been repelled. We see this now in the lands where the Jews have... I don't have water, sorry, to offer you. We see this now in the lands where Jews have completely assimilated. How horribly the Gentiles push back. I'm only reading what's here. And he says, we don't know where we are in the process of three. But when we look around us today, the Gentiles are pushing us back. BDS, the rise in the Democratic Party of the fascist socialist element, the attempted attack in the Shul in Germany on Yom Kippur. It was just a year since Pittsburgh. We're in very frightening times. We are being strongly repelled. America is notorious that it is a land of assimilation. The numbers have been lost to assimilation are through the roof. I think the number of assimilation amongst American Jews are like at 70%, the number of Jews who marry out. It was also this way in Egypt when the servitude became difficult. The Jews began to emulate the Egyptians, thinking that through this their situation could become easier. Right before the matzah of Avayakom Echadosh Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef, first it tells me that Yaakov and his sons went down to Mitzrayim. They were 70 souls, and it lists the Shvatim. Vayamas Yosef, Yosef v'chol Echad v'chol Hadar Hahu B'nei Yisrael Paru V'yishutzu V'yirbu V'yatzmu Ba'ad Ma'ad V'atimalei Ha'aretz Osam. So there is a level of drash in which you can interpret this pasuk. Listen. And then immediately after that pasuk it says, Vayakom el chadash al Mitzrayim Asher lo yada es Yosef, havan ischak melo pen yirbe. The final pasuk between the lineage and the family of Yaakov and the Shibun Mitzrayim is, U'bnei Yisrael paru vayishrutu vayirbu vayatzmu b'ma'od ma'od v'atzimala ya'aretz osam. Sefer Torah is not written with nukul. So what does it literally mean? B'nei Yisrael paru, they were fruitful. Vayishutu, they were teeming. Vayirbu, they were many. Vayatzmu, they were strong. B'ma'od ma'od. And the earth became filled with them. They started to move outside of Goshen. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. How could you translate vatimalei ha'aretz osam?
The land was filled with them.
That's what we said. That's the first interpretation. The land was filled with them. That's what we said. They were teeming on many and multiplied and they left Goshen. The land was filled with them. Listen literally. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. How would you translate that literally? Vatimalei ha'aretz osam.
The land filled them.
That's exactly right. The land filled them. Immediately after the land filled them, the culture of the land, the ways of them. That's exactly where Rabbi Hanan Wasserman comes and writes here. The Jews began to emulate the Egyptians. Immediately after the land filled them, Vayakom el chadosh al Mitzrayim asher lo yadas Yosef. The Jews began to emulate the Egyptians, thinking we would now be easier for us. What did God do? He turned their heart to hate his people. Kapitel Tehillim. The more they wanted to assimilate with the Egyptians, the greater the animosity of the Gentiles towards them. When the Jews realized their mistake, redemption came. Says Rav Wasserman, this is after Hitler's rise to power, but before the implementation of the final solution, and obviously before he was murdered, al Kiddush Hashem, the same will be with us. If you are separated from the nation, says Rashi, you are mine. If not, you are with Nebuchadnezzar and his friends, Havdalah, Paroches, partition, separation. There's a distance between light and dark, and there is a distance between Klal Yisrael and the Umas Olam. In the Ikvos, the Mashiach, and that's how the whole peace began, and Going home last week and reading this, I thought it was not an accident. We will think we should be like the nations. That's exactly what we should not be. Column 2, bottom. In the generation in this, that the son of David will come, the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. So when I read that second line, I thought, okay, this is totally min hashamayim, because what are the chances that it starts with ikvos de Mashiach, and then it quotes dar kipnei hakelef. The Chafetz Chaim of blessed memory used to give a second meaning to the face of a dog. He was quoting Rav Yitzchak, he was quoting the Nefesh Chaim. The nature of a dog is that if one throws a stone at it, so the Chafetz Chaim said, what does it mean? And that's in the Gemara that we saw in Sota, Mem Tes, that Pnei HaKelv, and the Ikvos to Mashicha, Pnei HaDar Kipnei HaKelv. So the Chafetz Chaim offers the following interpretation. The nature of a dog is that if one throws a stone at it, the dog runs to bite the stone. Is that true? Yes. If you throw a tennis ball, then the dog goes to run after a ball. If you hit it with a stick, the dog goes after the stick. When a Haman, or a Haman, meaning not the literal Haman, when a Haman arises against the Jews, we need to know it's a stick. It's only a stick, which with we are being punished from heaven. Oh, Asher, the rod of my anger, says Hashem. There is no sense in waging war with the stick. Because why? The stick is a shaliach. There is no shortage of sticks in heaven. There are many messengers to the one God. We need to employ measures so that heaven will not cast the stick. However, be'ikvos de Mashicha, there will be no knowledge. We read that in the Gemara. So we learned in the Gemara. Why will there be no knowledge? Because the house of Chachamim will become a house of Zonos. There will be no more house of Chachamim anymore. Why will there be no knowledge? Because the children will mock the elders, and the elders will stand before the youth. And there won't be any truth anymore, and governments will turn to heresy. In the era of the footsteps of Mashiach, there will be no knowledge. We will run like a dog to bite the stick. We'll publish articles about anti-Semitism. You know, sometimes people send me articles about the cause of anti-Semitism. And this, I don't read them, honestly. I don't read them. It exists. Halacha b'yidua she'esav sona li'yakov. I don't even read intellectual articles about anti-Semitism to know about anti-Semitism. We see this now when our modern Jewish leaders have declared war on the mightiest nations in the world. We'll have think tanks and we'll have articles and we'll preach to the choir. And in the meantime, do they hate us any less? Do they hate us any less? Do they hate us any less?
No.
What is our strength and what is our power? We take shots with articles in Jewish newspapers. I promise you, when I said that, I forgot that he said it. I promise. With what result? It incites the snakes further against the Jews. The leaders only see the stick. They do not want to know who is controlling the stick. Yet the people turn not unto him that smites them. Very powerful piece from Rav Chanan Wasserman. Avram's legacy that he bequeathed to us. We saw the Pasuk, we quoted Rashi, we quoted Rav Soloveitchik, we quoted the Medrash. Is that he left us the capability and the ability to be Aver. Kol ha'olam kulo. The entire world is on one side. And we saw on the insides, all you need, God says, at least there's one couple, then I will take one couple. Of Soloveitchik, this is from Abraham's Journey, quotes as follows. When God chooses man, he prefers the individual to the multitude. He does not select a group of individuals. He pulls out one person and says, you will be the messenger. Esther was one person who was the messenger. Do you know any of the names of the Jews? There were hundreds of thousands of Jews living in the 127 provinces. Do you know any names? He picks one from the multitude. He says, you're my messenger. Judaism believes the individual has a universal potential. He's a creator, a fashioner, an artist. The individual can spiritually mold the soul and mind of many. That's what Avram did. Avram megayer as ha'anashim, v'sar megayeris as ha'anashim. Ma'alei aleim ha'kasuv ki'ilu asuam. God wants the agent to deliver a message, to become a creator, so to speak. This is true of the election of, what does he call Avram? The lonely Avraham, who was segregated from the rest of the world, as well as of Moshe, who remained lonely all his life. And you could say the same thing about Esther Hamalka. She too was lonely Esther in the palace, in a sea of world, but she remained distinct. His existence, his, capital H, after all, the Almighty himself is one. Shemai Shoshem Ekron Shem Echad. There is nothing else besides him. Hence, loneliness is bestowed upon a shaliach. A human being should experience loneliness by making sure not to absolutize his bonds with others. Are your bonds with others absolute? And certainly are our bonds with the Ummah Sa'olam absolute? One should be ready when summoned by history to oppose or to reject the status quo. One should be ready when summoned by history to oppose or reject the status quo. If you remember with the line from the Medrash said, you just translated it into modern day English for us, you said, quote, it's called peer pressure. The Medrash says that while popularity can be righteous people must be ready to endure isolation. Popularity is pleasant, but it can also be a trap. The natural human desire for acceptance and popularity can lead one to compromise the principles. So let's say you only talk a certain way, but you work in an office where, I don't know, could be, where speech is not polished or stellar. It's very easy that one's speech will begin to decline when working in such an environment. Person has certain principles, but everybody is going to a certain movie. And maybe in a chevra of friends, everyone's going to the movie and you have certain principles. And they're gonna be doing something on screen that I shouldn't be watching, but I justify it for the sake of what you call peer pressure. I don't wanna be alone, I don't wanna be lonely, I don't want the whole world to be on one side and I should be the other side. You can say the same thing with phones, that's fine. Some people feel, myself included, that phones are very necessary. I could honestly not be without it, especially a person with a hearing loss. I listen to Shiram always when I'm driving, so you could do that. And a person has to measure for themselves if phones help them or not. I listen to Shiram my way to Flashbush. I drove to TMM tonight to pick up my daughter, tag driving, whatever. I listen to a 15-minute Shiram. For a person with a hearing loss, I'm not trying to justify. There are certain, obviously, problems with phones, but it's not a blanket. It's a blanket statement that nobody should go into those movies watching those people doing that on the screen. I can't make the same blanket statement about this device. In my life, it does tremendous good. So we have to be careful. If a person does not need it, so they don't need it. It's a different matzav. But there's certain blanket statements that a Hebrew should not be doing. Talking a certain way, saying certain words, being too comfortable with members of the opposite gender is not, you can't say that's beneficial in some situations. It's not beneficial to see two people naked sleeping on a screen. That's not, that's Aishas Potiphar. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Yosef ran outside. He was also an Ivri. Avram was willing to be totally alone. One should be ready, says the Rav, when summoned by history to oppose or to reject the status quo. Be a cultural, social, political. The Jew must be ready, like Avram, Ha'ivri, to say, Hineni. Each individual should possess the strength to pitch his tent on one side of the river, while society lives on the other. So at the Friday Night Shabbos table, we started a couple months ago. We do a little bit of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And it's so funny because this is the last piece that we did. So I really feel Hashem wrote the shir. It's the last piece that we did. Please take and pass. Interestingly, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, okay, so we quoted Shem Shem Fal Hirsch. We quoted Elachanan Wasserman, who was speaking about Germany. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was written. Does anybody know? I saw when I sat down to prepare and what year it was written. Does anyone remember? 1870. Hungary. Rav Shlomo Gansri, the Dain of Ungvar, Hungary, prolific writer, an authority on every aspect of halacha. It is an abridged version of the Shulchan Aruch, which has been accepted in almost every Jewish community in the world. Okay. So this is from Simon Gimel, Seif Beis. Ein holchim, we're going to finish our shir with this. Ein holchim b'chukos hagoyim. First of all, we have a mitzvah in Vayikra 18:3, so the pasuk tells you, the pasuk tells you not to do like the ways of the Egyptians where you were, not to do like the ways of the Canaanim where you're going, and you should not go in their ways. So what does it mean you should not go in their ways? You told me don't be like the Egyptians. You told me not to be like the Mitzrim. You told me not to be like the Canaanim. So what does Uvichu Koseim Lo Se Lechu mean? So Rashi says it's things that are so entrenched in their society, they have become like laws. Dvarim hachakukin lahen. They're not laws, but they're minhagim. Their practices have become like laws. Rashi says they're not to go. You can look up theaters and stadiums. I'm sure you've known before. Maybe in those times it was used for avodah zarah. That's what Rashi says. Let's look at this. Ein hochim b'chukos hagoyim. Should not go in the ways of the goyim. Chuk goyim doesn't only mean their ways. It's so entrenched, it's like a law. V'lo misdamim lahem. You should not adopt their styles. Domeh. You should not resemble them. Lo b'malbush, not in dress. V'lo b'se'ar, not in hair. This is cute. One of my kids has, like, what do they call it? A chup? Is that what it's called? On the top of his head? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
So when we're learning this, so we started laughing at the table, sort of. Lo b'se'ar v'kayotzim, you shouldn't dress like them, you shouldn't have a hairstyle like them, and other things like the shenemar, v'lo seichu b'chukas ha'gayim, you should not go in the ways of the gayim. Oh, there he goes. He just quoted what I quoted. V'chugaseim lo seidech. V'nemar. Third line. Hishamar lecha penti nakesh achareim. Be very careful lest you become ensnared after them. Lo yilbosh malbush hamiyuchad lahem. If they have a specific garment that they wear, you should not wear their garment. It's very interesting. Someone just told me a certain child came over to their house on a Friday night. And the child, she said, was wearing a Halloween garment, attire, dress. She said it was clearly a Halloween dress. Now, I don't know if they did know. I don't know if they were not aware. It's interesting that if they have a malbush hamiyuchad lahem, l'shum geus, v'hu malbush sarim, or it's like a garment of geus, how's it translated? Haughtiness, ostentation, such as the garment of high-ranking officials, uledugma hada armein begemara, an example, like it says in the Gemara, the asra liyisrael hit damot lahem, afilu biritzuas hamin al. I'm sure you know this. You're not allowed to emulate even their
shoelace.
Now, what's interesting, is that what you said? When do we see it in this week's parasha? A reference to the shoelace. Who remembers?
I can't hear the shoelace. When it was offered, I'm sorry, it was offered things by the kings. I don't want anything, not even
a shoelace. Oh, very, very nice. We already quoted from Perek Yod Dalid, where he's referred to as Armor V'Iri. And after the war, Imichut V'ad Sroch Nal, he doesn't want to take anything from the booty of war. You should not say, Ani Ha'asharti Es Avram. I'm not taking the time to look it up. It's in Perek Yod Dalid. So the Gemara says, the Asr L'Yisrael L'Hit Damodam, you can't be Doma to them. Afil B'Ritzuas Haminal, She'im Hayadar Kam Likshar Kach. If they tie their shoes a certain way, v'darach Yisrael binyan acher, and Jews tie their shoes a different way, so you can't tie it their way. Ol shahaya min hagam lios lehem ritzuas adumos, shah Yisrael shechoros, or if they wear, what color?
Red
shoelaces, and Israel wears black shoelaces, mishum ditzeva shachar mora al anava, black demonstrates humility, v'shiflus, and it doesn't really mean lowliness, submissiveness, utsnius, and modesty. Asra liYisrael l'shanos, Israel is not allowed to change the color of their shoelace. Umizeh yalmad kol adam lefi mekomo v'sha'ato. Every person has to learn for his place and his time. So that's something that changes from time to time. The way the Umos Olam dress in Germany and in Hungary in the 1800s is not the way that the Umos Olam dress today. It's probably much more utsnius than they dress today. But you're not allowed to change. And you have to learn according to your place and the time. Shahamalbush ha'asui liyahora uferitzus lo ya'aseh ha'yisrael kein. Pritzus, the dress that has been made. What's pritzus? How would you translate pritzus? A modesty. It's been made for show or for immodesty. Israel can't do this. Ela malbusha v'yu asuim b'inyan hamora al hachna utznias. When you walk in the street, it should be recognizable. When I walk in the street, I'm sorry, it should be recognizable based on my dress that I have submissiveness and humility and I'm identifiably Jewish. Remember, we started off by saying, Rav Chanan Wasserman says, the Haskalah says, you should be a Jew in your home and a person in public. Hachei Armin B'Sifrei, like it says in the Sifrei, Shelo Tomar, you should not say, Ho Il Vehein Yotzin Ba'argaman, Afani Eitze Ba'argaman, what's Argaman? Scarlet. You shouldn't say, they go out in scarlet, I'm also going out in scarlet. Ho Il Vehein Yotzin Bekolsin, Perush Klei Zayin, they go out with certain implements of war, Afani Eitze Bekolsin, I'm also going out with a weaponry. Shadvarim halalu divrei shachatz v'gaivahim. These are arrogant, haughty things. V'lo ke'ela chelak Yaakov. But the bottom line that you're seeing is it depends on the time. It depends what their dress is. Whatever their dress is, we must be distinguished and identifiably different. Aladarkam lios tsenuim v'anavim. The way of Israel is to be tsanua and to be humble. Velo lifnos el rehavim, and not to be influenced by the haughty, not to turn to them. V'chein kol davar shenagu. Does everyone know where I'm up to? 1, 2, 3. Fifth line from the bottom. I made the copy, so you could follow inside. Is anyone following inside with me? V'chein kol davar shenagu limnhog u'dechok di'ika lemechash. I have to look in the English, I'm sorry. Any custom or statue of which there is a suspicion, sheyesh bo shemetz avodah zarah, there is in here some avodah zarah, lo ya'asa ha'yisrael kein. You have to make sure to separate yourself from their ways that are foreign service of avodah zarah, that's certainly. V'chein lo yigalach v'lo yigadel sa'arus rosho kemohem. So again, one of my kids has a trip. Is that how you say it? Am I saying it the right way? Okay, so also today you have to make sure to pick your battles. But you should not shave or you should not grow your hair like them. Ella yehe muvdal mehem. The key is what they do in society, in the time in which you live, which changes. It's not today like they lived in the 1800s. In the 1800s, society as a whole dressed tsanua. Look at old pictures. They dress properly. However they dress, I must be identifiably different. Not a Jew in my house and a person in the street. Avram Avinu was a Jew everywhere. Everybody recognized who he was. He earned the badge of Ivri. So I cannot shave like them, or on the Hafech, I can't grow my hair like them. I shouldn't have the same hairstyle. Ella yehe muvdal mehem. I have to be muvdal, havdalah. Remember we read from Rav Chanan Wasserman about havdalah. There is a distance, says the Chafetz Chaim, no, not the Chafetz Chaim. There's a distance, says the Beis Halevi, between light and dark, and it's, you can't change the time. But are you going to make the sun rise at a different time and make the moon rise at a different time? You can't change the time. The time, the frame of time, the distance between light and dark is the distance between light and dark. So too the distance, the havdalah, the parochas between Israel and the Umos Olam. Yehei moved out two more lines. Mehem b'malbushav. You should be identifiably Jewish in our dress. Uvidiburo, and in our speech. There's a way we talk, and there's a way we don't talk. And that's where we saw that peer pressure, though popularity is popular, it's also very dangerous. Uvishar ma'asov. So in other words, a person has to use their seichel. If this is a Halloween dress, and maybe that family didn't know, I understand. I'm using it as an example. I used other examples. I used going to movies with your friends if it's not an appropriate movie. Or going on a day trip to a place that maybe is not appropriate, but everyone else is doing it, so I'm going to do it too. But maybe you shouldn't be there in the first place. Maybe I shouldn't be there. I'm talking to myself. So if in our time that dress is identifiable as that holiday, then I'm not allowed to wear it, it seems. B'malbush, b'dibur uvishar masov, kemoshu who moved on mayhem b'mado uvideosav. Just like our religion, our concepts, our entire life mahalach is different, we have to be externally different. V'chein hu omer v'avdil eschem. It's a pasuk from Vayikra, which is also quoted in the article by Rav Chanan Wasserman. V'avdil eschem min ha'avim. So the Rebbe Shlomo almost separate us from the nations. It's a bracha. It's the greatest bracha when we embrace the legacy of Avraham Avinu. But it can also become the biggest tochacha. As Rav Chanan Wasserman, if we don't listen with a mighty hand, and it will be an outstretched arm, and then it will be fury poured out, and we don't know where we are. The near future will show us. However, a wonder has occurred. It is increasingly difficult to become a Gentile. The Gentiles are driving us back. Pnei Hadar k'pnei HaKalav in the Ikvus, the Mashiach HaHalavai, we should be Zocha. To Be'ezros Hashem, it should really talk of be immediately the final Ikvus, the Mashiach, the final footsteps of Mashiach, we should be Zocha to the Geula Shleima.